next, we're going to get started. We'll open with an invocation and pledge. Got one?
Yes. All right. Father, thank you for this time to get to come together and just hopefully put our experience and wisdom together to help do some planning and guiding for this county and community that we all love and think a lot of, and you'll just give us your guidance and help us make the best decisions for the greatest majority of the people and for this land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Does the member of the public wish to offer any comment at this time? All right, are there any agenda markers? Consent agenda, the minutes from our last meeting, and the subdivision report that you all received in your packet. Is there any need to make any changes to those two documents? Well, I need a motion to accept the consent agenda.
I make a motion that we accept the consent agenda.
How much is it?
Thank you.
All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? What would you go? Well, we've got to do that right now. First topic. Citizen advisor and council training.
Thank you. And you will hear plenty from me tonight, so I'm going to actually let Darby give you this presentation. But just to give you a brief context, this is a typical training that is given to all of our citizen advisory council and boards. Having some new members, we felt that now would be an appropriate time to give it in a formal meeting and also allow the public to see it as well. So, Darby, why don't you get started?
As Alan said, this is the General Citizen Advisory Council training. To start it off, we will be talking about the county government of Transylvania County. Transylvania County operates in a council manager form, meaning we have a county manager appointed by the Board of Commissioners. The Board of Commissioners is comprised of 5 members who are elected by the people. They serve each a 4-year term, and those terms are staggered. The Board of Commissioners is considered a legislative and policy-making body. That means that they are in charge of enacting policies for the county, such as ordinances, resolutions. They are in charge of enacting the annual budget, as well as appointing citizen advisory council members and the county attorney, the tax administrator, as well as the clerk to the board. These are the 5 current county commission members. The definition for a citizen advisory council is a group of citizen volunteers who advise the local government. These councils are established by either state statute or authority. To be a part of a council, you must be at least 18. You also have to be a resident of Transylvania County. Certain boards have a residency requirement, such as you have to be a resident of the city of Brevard or town of Rosman, have to be a part of JHPC, the Joint Historic Preservation Commission as an example. The rest of the commission is made up of county residents. When you are a part of the board, you cannot serve more than two consecutive full terms. You also cannot be a part of more than two boards of the Transylvania County. These are all of the boards for Transylvania County for Citizen Advisory Councils, or CACs. The CAC advises the Board of Commissioners and helps them determine what county policies and procedures they should enact. If they allow facilitation of public discussion, they also help the Board of Commissioners and themselves stay informed on subjects of interest within the community and county. It is important for CAC members to have knowledge on the subject that their board is over. Attendance is a fundamental responsibility to be a part of a CAC.
Darby, are you accepting questions as we go?
We have questions at the end if you don't mind.
Okay.
Thank you. To be a part of a CAC, you cannot be involved in the administration or operation of county departments. You also cannot direct staff to initiate any programs. You also cannot conduct studies or establish official policies without the approval of the Board of Commissioners. The role of a CAC is, again, to provide input to the Board of Commissioners. It allows the public to come and have additional lines of communication to the board so they can filter it to the Board of Commissioners. Again, they do not determine or establish any county policy. The benefits of it is they allow to focus on certain special topics. It also allows recommendations to go to the Board of Commissioners that are based on thorough and in-depth analysis of the alternatives that the Board of Commissioners have for a policy. And it also gives a citizen's perspective to them. Guidelines for being a member of a CAC, you should present views and recommendations that is result of the whole CAC as a body, not a specific individual personal views. Public statements made by CAC members should be careful and not to include promises that could be construed or seen as to be binding to the Board of Commissioners, county staff, or the CAC, or you are part of. The CAC actions, again, are strictly recommendations. The final action is taken by the Board of Commissioners, and each member should represent the overall public good. And more guidelines, try to work to establish a good relationship with other members of your CAC board. Try to familiarize yourself with the county government as well as administrative organizations and what board you are a part of. Try to always be respectful of individuals' viewpoints, whether they are other members on the board or the public who come up to give comments. Try to allow other members of your board adequate time to present their views. Help recognize new members, make them feel welcome. Try to always be open and honest and minimize the political opinions among members, again, just to represent the public good. Roles and responsibilities for a CAC, to conduct official business and to be able to vote, you must have a quorum of members. Each CAC shall elect a presiding officer, which is the chair. CACs also elect a vice chair. Just in the case of the absence of the chair, they can help develop agendas, run the meeting, and provide leadership, which is responsibilities for the chair specifically. CAC may elect other officers, such as secretaries, but that tends to only be for certain CAC boards that have decided they need more than a chair or vice chair. and appointees of these positions to try to always attend meetings as much as possible. Going into the North Carolina Open Meetings Law, this law is over all boards, whether they are appointed or elected. All CAC meetings are considered public meetings, and the CAC must provide reasonable notice of all their meetings to allow the public to come in and give comment, or just allow the public to view what is happening in the meetings. The minutes must be recorded in a timely manner, and they should only be a brief summarization of what happened in the meeting. To continue with the open meetings law, this is an example of how exactly the meetings should look or what exactly topics they should have involved. Also, the open meetings law is, like I said, for both elected and appointed citizen advisory councils. With the open meetings law, no matter where members are, if a majority of them are present anywhere they are, whether it's informal or formal, it is considered a violation of the OC open meetings law because a notice was not given to the public, and it is seen as the public not being able to come and witness exactly what is happening. Communications that are in violation of the North Carolina open meetings law are any written communications that is passed through all members, telephone conversations between committee members who discuss specifically how each other are voting for any business for future meetings. It also includes the use of computers or other devices to convey messages or reports to other members or to all other members. That is would be probably email when it refers to that.
I want to make a couple of comments. Everybody noticed that the words can be in violation. There might be a time when all of us are in the same room or something. Are we another function together? As long as we don't discuss planning board business, that it's okay. But if we start talking about planning board business, it could be a violation of the law. And also, the communications that may be in violation, again, it depends on what's in those communications. This is not my first.
Are you saying on this that, I say I need to call John Wayne and talk something over with him and all that? Just the two of us trying to say we wanted clarification of what we thought we heard at a meeting or something like that. So you're saying that's not
right? No. So any communication with a quorum is when you are in violation of our discussing business. If you discuss business.
You and I and John can talk. You can call me, you can call John. That's not necessarily a violation.
Okay.
But if you add Rick in or Lauren, could be.
Our quorum is four.
Correct.
So the now on that last one, that use of computers to convey messages or reports, that PowerPoint program that got sent out to all of the members of the planning board?
That is not a violation. So if you're referring to the PowerPoint that I sent to you or the packet that you received.
No, the one that I sent. No,
regarding
the floodplain.
That's not a violation of quorum. If there was a discussion that had opened up, you would provide that information to the rest of the board. That is when you would be in violation.
Okay,
just wanted to set while we're clarifying. It looks like any telephone conversation, though, it can just be two people if you're talking about how you're going to vote, is a violation. Right?
State
that doesn't matter how many people.
State statute's a little bit vague.
Please
so you have a hard time also proving sort of why it's that you discussed how you were going to vote. But a discussion of business between two board members is not a violation. Once you reach your quorum and you're discussing planning board business, that is when you are subject to state statute and violating open meetings law.
Okay.
I was told this about 10 years ago. It's been a while.
Next, we're going to go into public records law. Public records law determines what is considered public record. Any document such as agenda, backup material, minutes of the meetings will be open to public inspection. It goes a little bit further than just documents and papers. It includes maps, bullets, photographs, etc., electronic data processing records. Regardless if we have just physical form, it also includes digital forms of these things. It also defines public records as the items made or received pursuant to law or ordinance in connection with the transaction of public business. The conflict of interest, if you notice, the 160B is new. Alan will go into further detail about the broad changes that is, but for the conflict of interest, what you should know is that it just clarifies even more what exactly the conflict of interest is, specifically for relationship conflicts. A CAC member is required to abstain from voting if a conflict of interest is involved. That includes financial conflicts, if they have a direct, substantial, or identifiable financial impact through the vote, or if they have a relationship with a person, a close family, business, or associational relationship with interested individuals of the vote that affects that. If a board member refuses to recuse themselves or refuses to not be involved in the voting, the rest of the members of that board will have to vote to decide if they should be allowed to participate. This is just the exact language from the 160D.09 Part B. For this board, you have to use parliamentary procedure. If you want to make an action, you have to make a motion. That means if you want to adjourn, such as if you want to approve minutes, if you want to discuss, you always have to make a motion, and you can only make one motion at a time, unless it, and if you don't, it gets confusing. And the next slide just shows examples of different types of motions.
Questions? Comments?
I do have a question. Back on the page 6, which is the listing of the current advisory councils in the county, where does it say the planning board / board of adjustment? Are we just the planning board and no longer the board of adjustment?
No. You are the planning board and act as the board of adjustment when you are required to be the board of adjustment.
Okay.
Anybody else?
This was a good training review. This was good.
Hope everybody read through that. I hope you will stick that down somewhere and keep it. Might want to look at it every now and then. Okay, if there's no other comments or anything.
Thank you, Darby.
You're welcome. All right. No other comments or anything, we'll go to the North Carolina General Statute, Chapter 160D changes.
This is the fun stuff you guys will get to talk about over the course of the next year. But about this time last year, there was a new law passed in Session Law 2019-111 to formally introduce North Carolina General Statute 160D. And this presentation is to provide you just a general introduction. To the best of my knowledge, this has not been given to the Planning Board in the last year. And it's going to be very general. I'm not going to get into the weeds of the statute itself, I just want to put it on your radar and provide you some resources so that as we are working through some of our ordinances, which what 160D will affect, you have a source to refer to as we touch on each of those. Just for a quick overview, in 2019, the North Carolina General Assembly adopted Part 2 of State Law 2019-111, which is Senate Bill 355. It is a complete reorganization of the state's planning and development regulation statutes. Newly created 160D consolidates the previous county and city general statutes, which were Article 18 of Chapter 153A, that pertains to cities, and Article 19 of Chapter 168, that pertains to counties, into one unified statute. This is all being done to centralize and simplify North Carolina land development regulations so that there's one source to go to for all state requirements concerning land development regulation. 160D will be broken into 14 articles. Those articles include an article on general provisions, planning and development regulation jurisdiction, board and organizational arrangements, administrative enforcement and appeals, planning, process of adoption of development regulation, zoning regulation, subdivision regulation, regulation of particular uses and areas, development agreements, building code enforcement, minimum housing code, additional authorities, and judicial review. This is a consensus reform. 160D does not make major policy changes or shifts in the scope of the authority granted to local governments. 160D does, however, include many clarifying amendments and consensus reforms. Consensus reform, just as with your consensus agenda, it's a non-controversial change to an ordinance. A clarification of a definition, a modification of a reference, things like that. What does this mean for Transylvania County? It means a lot of updates to our existing land development ordinances, including your flood prevention ordinance, manufactured home park, planning and development charter, sign control ordinance, watershed protection, mountain range protection, your historical preservation designation, the Pisgah Forest community zoning ordinance, scenic corridor, subdivision control, and your telecommunication tower ordinance. Updates to these ordinances are required according to 160D by July 1st, 2021, so almost exactly a year from now. And that is just a resource the school government is providing that you can refer to. I'm happy to provide that link, and there's a lot of good material. We also have some literature in our office that you're welcome to come and borrow and use. I would mention that these ordinance changes have to be treated like text amendments. We have to go through the regular public hearing process required by state statute, required by existing county policy. So providing adequate notice, which is no more than 25 days in advance, no less than 10 days in advance, allowing the public hearing, and then approval by the Board of Commissioners.
I'm sorry, I need a timeout.
Oh, that's totally you'll see in new business, I have a future Transylvania County Land Development Ordinance modification item where I'm going to ask the board to give staff some guidance and provide you a proposal on how to tackle all these ordinance modifications. But just to provide you a little more information, these are very non-confrontational ordinance modifications. There are a lot of reference changes, so anywhere in your ordinance where it references 160A, we have to change it to 160D. As monotonous as that may seem, it is still a text amendment and we have to treat it as such. Thus, you have to review that change, and then the Board of Commissioners have to hold a public hearing and approve that change. There are some definitions that need to change in a couple of our ordinances that are required by this new state statute. But for the most part, there aren't any large-scale changes. I will admit that having only been in the planning office for about 6 weeks now and having a couple other projects, I am not as up-to-date as I would like to be on all the details of 160D. I'm working very hard to get there so I can provide you all the information you need in the process that I propose. Later in this meeting, you'll see that I'm trying to allow me and the rest of our staff got another 4 weeks to get up to snuff on all the changes that need to be made and all of your ordinances that are required by this statute so that we can address this again and you know what's required and what's recommended. Speaking with the manager, it's the desire of the board to also try and use this opportunity to tackle some clarifications that our ordinances need that are not subject to 160D requirement. Specifically some outdated language, possibly some updates that will allow more efficient workflow in our office, changes in that nature that are not confrontational, that won't stir a lot of controversy, but will allow the planning staff to work more effectively and make the ordinances more easy to interpret going forward.
There are 11 of those ordinances. And on top of that, we have the small area plan Cedar Mountain to look at. And it's going to be a busy year, I think. And on top of that, if you read through what we're supposed to be doing, we're supposed to provide next May a report on what we've done, and we're supposed to review the comprehensive plan each year. Didn't know that, did you?
When you signed up for this.
Well, it is going to be busy.
I will say your
attendance is 49. I'm sorry. That's the 2025 comprehensive county plan. Right. Or is that still in effect, or are we going to review and re-amend and put out a new comprehensive
plan? As you will see in your bylaws, the comprehensive plan is in effect through 2025. But in your bylaws, it states that it's this board's job to annually review the comprehensive plan, assess the status of the plan, and provide a review to the Board of Commissioners with any recommended modifications or any general recommendations you might have on the plan status annually.
This is a comprehensive plan. Some of it you probably can just look at it go on because I want to meet with this guy.
I thought this was the comprehensive plan.
I believe you have a condensed version. There was a version made that doesn't show all the maps and all the graphs and stuff on one large page and printed on double sided, and I believe that's what you have.
Okay. Right. The content is the same. They haven't taken out any of the words.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I'll double check after the meeting for you.
Busy year. Now, Ellen has asked us, how do we want to go about accomplishing this work?
In new business under A, I actually have a proposed process for you to review and then provide me some feedback there if you'd like to wait.
So, you're going to put together something?
I already have something together for you.
Good. We'll say, and we need to think about this a little bit, one meeting a month, hour or two may not be enough. So, as we get into this, we may want to either expand this meeting or have an additional meeting during the month. And it's something y'all need to crank into your thinking and think about what you would rather do. And then we, of course, have to think about Ellen and the staff, what they can do, and what they would prefer. Any other comments on
that? Yeah, so just for clarification, what's being proposed is that we go through these 11 ordinances as a team, and to be determined how we do that. But just do the simple language changes and not look at content?
So there are specific changes that have to be made according
right.
to state statute. You have no choice. There are...
Right, 160A to 160B.
Correct. And then there's definitions that are going to be mandated by the state going forward that will have to be made, and you will not have a choice as well. But there are some... they call them optional changes that are to promote more efficient planning and more efficient regulation that you do not have to include but are recommended in this state statute, and we'll separate the difference between the two for you as you read those ordinances. And as I mentioned, this is also an opportunity to try and go ahead and do some modification to our ordinance internally. Any items that we identify in our ordinance that need to be updated, one specifically that I'll mention that is really pertinent considering the time that we're living in now and COVID and trying to social distance, is according to our subdivision ordinance, subdivision plat, you have to provide 4 physical copies to our office. I can tell you, we don't need 4 physical 18 by 24 inch paper copies of every subdivision and every extension to the term subdivision that we review. We also don't allow electronic signatures on these subdivisions, even though our registered deeds can take electronically signed documents now, and there are state statutes that allow that. That would be one of the modifications that's not mandated in your state, in this new state statute, that I would recommend. It will allow staff to work more efficiently with our surveyors and our real estate attorneys and allow them to work more efficiently as well, providing documents electronically to us and to the registered deeds for recordation.
So the noise ordinance isn't even listed.
The noise ordinance is not a land development regulation. You were advised by the Board of Commissioners to review that at their discretion. It's not actually one of the ordinances that you as the planning board are required to review annually and maintain.
Okay,
any other comments, questions, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, from a planning perspective, I'm glad you gave a good example. That's out of date. I know other counties around have definitely moved on towards the electronic signature and stuff, which allows the planning to move at a faster pace and be more efficient.
All right. There are no other comments and whatnot on that. Let's go to item C under presentation, the small area plan.
And I apologize in advance. This presentation will be a little bit longer. Last month, this board asked the staff to prepare some information on small area plan. As you begin the review process for the Cedar Mountain Small Area Plan, which is the first small area plan in this county's history, some context to what small area plans are supposed to look like in the state of North Carolina is what this presentation aims to provide for you. This presentation, I'll just provide a quick overview. We'll overview for you. We'll discuss small area plans, how it's defined, the purpose of small area planning, legal requirements, Transylvania County small area planning process, typical contents of small area plans, timelines for these plans, key steps in the planning process, outcomes, and I'll provide you a time for questions at the end. So what is a small area plan? It's typically a future vision and a policy guide for the community, a plan for a community's physical evolution, a comprehensive analysis of all aspects of the community development, a long range, it typically varies between 5 and 15 years, sometimes even extending to 20. It is not zoning bylaw, which is often confused. It is not an ordinance, it is not regulation once it's adopted. It is a public policy document, similar to a comp plan, as North Carolina views it. A small area plan helps communities manage growth and change, provides consideration for orderly and predictable development, protects environmental resources, and sets priorities for development and maintaining infrastructure and public facilities. A small area plan helps communities strengthen local identity, create a framework for future policy decisions, promotes open democratic planning, and engaging broad community discussions and impact. And it provides a vision for landowners, developers, and permitting authorities. Legal responsibilities. This is where it gets fun and hard to interpret. The state of North Carolina administers no small area planning requirements. This is different from other states in the Southeast, Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee, I think even Georgia as well, they have requirements in their state statutes on what small airplanes are, what they can do, and what they should look like. North Carolina is not set up that way. The state does not mandate what a small airplane should include and what it can mandate, what it can even do essentially. There are no state mandates for small airplane responsibilities. There are no state mandated obligations to adopt or implement small airplane once they're prepared either. This is your legal obligation. It's the Transylvania County Small Area Planning Process that's adopted by our commissioners. That is a policy adopted by the local governing board. So it is effectively your legal responsibility. And we went over this last month. I just wanted to provide it to you again. The Small Area Planning Process starts with a project initiation. And you can see the steps in there. A project foundation. Again, you can review those steps. We looked at them last month. A project development portion. A drafting of the plan, so construction of the plan itself. And then a refining finalization of the plan, so a final review. Plan construction. Again, there's no state requirement for plan construction. There's no standard instruction for small area plans in the state of North Carolina. There is not an accepted format, and there's no required sections or materials that are found that are obligated to be in a small area plan. What's typically in a small area plan? Here I've listed a number of general topics that you'll find, and in your packet I provided you 4 copies of small area plans in the state of North Carolina. You'll see that a lot of these topics are found in those 4 plans. And if you look at other plans dating back to the early 2000s when they became more popular, you'll see these pop up. Community vision statement being one of those, the Cedar Mountain Small Area Planning Committee, you saw theirs at your last meeting, but it aids in the development of the plan, ensures that all parties are familiar with the plan's purpose. It typically drafted in the beginning of the plan process, but public input can result in the need for amendments based on the process results. There's also typically some sort of data analysis, provides evidence for plan goals and recommendations, and it can provide context to the land development, traffic safety, public input, and other topics that the plan might need to touch on. Public input is crucial to a small area plan. Public input can be conducted in a manner of different ways. Public survey, currently being conducted by the Cedar Mountain Small Area Plan Committee. Public meetings and community attendance. Public workshops that can be formatted in a number of different ways, as well as public presentations. There's also typically a section on existing conditions, and those can range from emerging issues, available infrastructure, history of the area, existing policy and regulations, as well as available natural resources for that small area. Trends, estimate, future projections and conditions are typically very important for a small area plan. They provide information on demographic trends and current population makeup to help prepare the plan as it is proposing development for that area. Maps are very typical in small area plans. They can range from boundary maps, existing land use maps, available infrastructure, proposed planning districts, recommended service areas. It's really dependent on what the plan is getting at, the map that you will see in a small area plan. Typically, in a small area plan, it's concluded with some sort of goals, tools, and recommendations. You can see their goals are usually the identified community needs the plan can address. Tools are the resources available to meet those needs, whether they be regulation, infrastructure, or further investigation. There are a couple other tools that can be used as well. And then recommendations are the plan's specific direction for the use of the identified tools to meet the identified goals. So how long does a small area plan typically take? 9 months to 2 years, depending on a number of different factors. Local capacity, the administration, the public process, community characteristics, size, makeup, complexity of the land use pattern, the degree of agreement or disagreement about major community issues, a catalyst for a small area plan process, and a budget for that small area plan process can affect how quickly one is completed. How do small area plans traditionally proceed? You typically have a visioning and goal setting. You have interviews with stakeholders and topic experts. Those stakeholders typically being community members, business owners, conservation groups, topic experts, as accurate as it may be, that's me and Darby and some of the experts that we might pursue to assist if need be, public meetings and public input, that Cedar Mountain has been conducting those since late back in October. Then you'll typically go into your plan construction, begin drafting the actual text of your plan, preparing maps that'll provide information in the context of the plan. Focus group and public workshops to gauge the public's feeling on the proposed draft. And then a plan review recommendations from advisory committees. You being one of those advisory committees, you will be reviewing these plans at the end of this once it's been constructed and drafted. The way that the Transmission County Small Area Planning Process is set up, you actually get some opportunity to review during the plan construction as well. And then finally, an adoption consideration by the Governing Board, being our Board of Commissioners. Outcomes: an adopted small area plan provides vision for development of the area based on the community's needs and desires. A small area plan may recommend regulation, capital investment, further investigation, government lobbying, or a number of other possible recommendations that you could see in a small area plan. Governing boards must decide after adoption the method of achieving a plan's vision based on budgets, timeline, resources, and any other contributing factor that could affect the plan, the proposed recommendations. Adoption: there's no state required method for adopting a small area plan. In Transmission County, according to our small area plan process, requires a planning board review and revise before submitting to the Board of Commissioners a recommended plan. The Board of Commissioners will hold a public hearing and then may approve, disapprove, or request revisions to that small area plan. A small area plan adoption requires a majority vote by both the planning board and the Board of Commissioners. And that is the end of that presentation. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I'll let the chair bring the questions.
Talk about budget.
Yes.
Does that come out of the general fund, or is it a levy put upon the plot within this small area?
Well, there is no budget for example, the Cedar Mountain Small Area Plan. It's solely staff facilitated. So when I mentioned how long a small area plan takes, it depends on the budget. Some communities, some localities will budget any range of dollars to hire a consultant to help prepare the plan. That will typically expedite the planning process. When I am referencing a budget in context to the planning process itself, it's not any of the capital improvements, per se, that the plan may recommend. It's more so the construction of the plan. For instance, we only have two staff members, but really three staff members in the planning department that are helping with this small area plan. If we could hire a consultant, if we were approved $30,000 to hire a local planning firm to help us, we could probably get through the plan much quicker.
Okay, that's my question. Where would that $30,000 come from?
It would be allocated in an annual budget request through
the government.
There's also some grant funding that can be applied for that help with that can be allocated for small area planning processes, available through different resources. But yes, if it's general out of county funds, it come out of general.
Now, Alan, theoretically, a community such as, and we'll just use Cedar Mountain as the example, come up with all of these recommendations, which is a word that carries throughout that entire document up there. That may be what the community wants, but if the commissioners disapprove it, then it's all kind of a moot point, isn't it?
There is no legal obligation for your governing board to adopt a small area plan that's been approved by other advisory committees. So if the Board of Commissioners don't feel that it is good for the community, they do not have any obligation to adopt it.
There's no legal obligation for us to approve.
That's also correct.
So, but if they do adopt the plan or approve the plan, does that imply a commitment to follow up on the recommendations?
Similar to your comprehensive plan. So if you look in your 2025 comprehensive plan, there are a number of different recommendations. Achieving those recommendations, as I mentioned, is dependent on your budget, your timeline, and your resources made available. A good example is transportation. That is typically a topic that you will see inside a small area plan in North Carolina. the counties in North Carolina are not in the business of transportation. We do no road maintenance. We do no road construction. I can tell you from working with the small area community that a topic you will see in their plan is a bike lane down 276. That is something that is very appealing to the residents of Cedar Mountain, and I don't see anyone who would not be in favor of a bike lane down 276. A bike lane directly down North County 276 would fall into the North County Department of Transportation's jurisdiction. So even if it's recommended by the plan and then approved by the Board of Commissioners, it's really not up to the county on when that bike lane can be put in. It's a matter of when funding is available and if DOT deems it pertinent to include a bike lane. They weigh heavily a county's plans that are established and a county's recommendations, but we have no means to enforce the North County Department of Transportation to redo 276 and include a bike lane with it. If that helps your question.
Yeah, that's a great example. So, some of the recommendations will be envisioning constraints, like we don't want such and such a big box builder, you know, putting a new building on our in our property. If this, again, if this is adopted or accepted, is that enforceable? How do you make these recommendations enforceable?
Depending on the recommendation, there's a number of different ways. If it's a means of land use regulation that's being recommended, it'll be some sort of ordinance. Now,
that would be specific to Cedar Mountain in this case?
Possibly. It could also be something that is addressed as in the county as a whole if the Board of Commissioners find it appropriate.
Alan, the other thing I'm thinking is my initial thought is the commissioners are supportive of a small area plan. But depending on what a community wants, they can end up, those two different thought processes can end up butting heads pretty good. And a community can want what they want, and if the commissioners don't want it, then all that was done for nothing.
Something to keep in mind with small area plans and recommendations are feasibility. So a community can be heavily in favor of any number of items, like I said, transportation of bike lane. Is it feasible that the county can provide a bike lane? It's feasible, but it's going to require some cooperation. Same with land use regulation. If there is the community's desire to have very extensive, very elaborate land use regulation, who is going to then enforce it? How are we going to pay for that enforcement process? I will tell you, working in this department now for about 8 weeks, we are pretty busy with what we have. So if we were to establish a new land use regulation policy that required inspection and interpretation and working with developers and contractors, I would probably recommend there's more staff if we're going to do it in-house. Those are all things that have to be considered once a recommendation is approved as you try and reach the means of that recommendation, as you try and make those recommendations reality. That's something that this board will be working with, as well as the Board of Commissioners, who are ultimately the ones that allocate those resources for the county.
What's the age on our what's the age on our normal county ordinances for land use right now? What is the last of the
I couldn't tell you without going back and checking. I know that we had a couple of text amendments as recent as 2013-2014.
I think that the community voices and everybody seems like it's a waste of time. And then they want to ask anybody involved in planning, what can be done, but it seems, maybe like we talked about these ordinances related to just this one chapter or whatever, going 160D, which is great, but that's really more from a statewide, but as far as this account, what this county is about, and taking care of the community, it seems like we're out of date. I mean, you're talking about something that could have been done 10 years ago with electronic signature, speed the plan process up. That eliminates, you need more staff members, but there's so much for a way to make it more productive for you guys.
Correct.
So we're going through 160D now, making like elementary level modifications and adjustments with 11 ordinances. But what about right here, right now, what happened in this county and ordinances that are out of date and communities in Europe?
As we bring these 160D ordinance changes to you, and we're providing, and we want to try and open the discussion for other modifications as well, we need to keep in mind that we have a time constraint to get some, to get the 160D ordinance modifications done. We have to get those done by July 2021. More controversial topics that require more research, some of these that you're mentioning that aren't so much, for back of letter, for no-brainer amendment changes. I would mention that when this board reviewed the noise ordinance, it took us well over a year, if I'm not mistaken. And that was a total recall of that ordinance. With these, what's going to be proposed likely is recommendations from staff based on best practices currently, and we hope that it would be free for discussion. Now, if you're talking to larger changes, more controversial changes, so to speak, then I imagine we're going to need more time in July 2021 considering all the other projects this board and staff has in front of them.
It is like for the, I mean, it takes forever for like a controversial one to even get to the board commission for what it did. And then you change attorney, you change this, that. Sorry, I'm playing catch up behind it, but I don't want to bring it back. I'm just, this land use thing is a big deal.
So now, Alan, theoretically, when we look over the Cedar Mountain Planning Board's progress like we did last month, that should help alleviate or minimize conflict with what we think their wishes will be versus what county commissioners are going to look at through the 2025 plan.
Yes, so their planning process was constructed in a manner that you're going to see a lot of their content prior to the draft being constructed. You have already seen their vision statement, and you were in favor of it with some minor changes that they were happy with and approved at their last meeting. You've seen their planning boundary. This board was in favor of the planning boundaries they had established. You'll see their goals and proposed tools before they're included in the draft. It was constructed that way to kind of help facilitate this plan's progress. Now, and the Board of Commissioners will also see that as well. They are going to be providing updates. I think they're probably going to get their first update in their last meeting in August 24th, where they're going to see at an official meeting the planning boundary division statement, as well as just general updates like you've been receiving last month and this month.
I guess since this has never been done before, we're kind of breaking new ground.
Correct. And I would also encourage you to remember that as we discuss the time frame. In other smaller plans I've worked on, a number of them have been done in that community already. There was a template for constructing a smaller plan. Transmitting County, we don't have that template. We are building something from scratch. Typically takes a lot longer than if you have a adopted process, have examples to refer back to.
I think that is the nail on the head. That is the nail on the head. I think the county's out of date with some ordinance things, and for y'all to be able to do anything to help the community, because, you know, here in the community trying to help, it's like you have to get this stuff organized before you can move.
Alan, question. We've got all these things we've got to do by this time next year. We can do what we have to do, but then if other changes are needed, we can be done later.
Absolutely. Like I mentioned, we will provide you examples that outline the changes that have to be made according to state statute. We will outline changes that are recommended by state statute. And then we will outline suggested changes that are suggested by staff, suggested by our governing board, suggested possibly by some of our local contractors, surveyors, etc., one of which being the electronic signature. That's one that we hear a lot of from surveyors that work in our community. So you can approve the mandated changes and continue to work on other ones down the road if it looks like it's, you'll need more time than the 1 year that we have.
Bill Wayne, you've been quiet.
It seemed like a lot to do, but seems like I feel like we're kind of jumping ahead because I thought he was going to make recommendations to how we're going to do this, so that's why I'm just waiting until that point. I got ideas for what I think to do it, but I'm guessing I'll put a lot of thought into it.
I think if you have ideas on how to go ahead, if you want to express them, that can crank it into history.
Well, it seems of the 11.
Just for clarification, are we finished with the small area planning? Because that's where the topic we were
well,
on.
Well, we're kind of veering off just a minute.
We want to veer off just a minute.
Yeah, just for a minute. I want to see if I can get everybody involved. He's been quiet. He's been sitting over there involved with
I think as far as approving those, the ones that we don't have any say in that you were talking about, just could all be done at one meeting really, really quickly. I would think in a matter of minutes, and then we could have a lot of time to discuss particular parts of concern that we think are outdated.
Yeah, we can do those in the consent agenda.
Yeah, just follow them, send them out to us, let us, we don't have a choice. There shouldn't be any discussion. There is no discussion.
I agree with them. We do what we have to do by law. Get that done, and then we meet our deadline, then go back one at a time and make the necessary changes like you're talking about.
Well, just to cut to the chase, I think the reason why, there's things that's happened, everybody's read the paper, whatever, the community being, as a planner, being yourself, it's hard to do anything until you get these laws and these bylaws and stuff all fixed. And I think that was the key, and the reason everything was so slow. There was a lot of good thought, but nothing was moving because to me, this is back to the basics, but let's go back, handle a couple of meetings of doing the doom and gloom, back to the basics, and then start plowing in, which I know that's what the community wants,
So the process that you'll see in your new business, the reason that it was kind of proposed this way and the reason why other localities have proposed a similar process instead of just giving you your adjusted ordinances with these required modifications. This allows us an opportunity to, in one project, make a lot of efficiency changes as well. With any text amendment, you have to go through public hearing process, engaging the public. The goal is to do this all at once instead of having to do it multiple times over and over again over the course of one or two years after July 2021. Now, it is for this board to determine how you want to make these changes, how you want to affect these ordinances. But that is a process that a lot of counties and cities have taken advantage of. It'd be what I would recommend because I do identify that there are some things in our ordinances that we can fix that are just out of practice. But again, this is for the board's decision. You haven't been given you haven't been given direct directions from the Board of Commissioners to do it this way. They will see this process at their August meeting as well. I wanted to provide this board the opportunity to discuss this proposed process before I put anything to the Board of Commissioners.
Warren, you've been kind of quiet. Do you have any comments on this?
Well, I think everyone's saying the right thing. I definitely want to hear what Alan says in the new business because I need kind of a whole picture about how to approach it. I'm not overly concerned about the 160D stuff. It looks like a lot. I think it's clarified. I'm not overwhelmed, but I do think we want to look at what we do want to get into outside of the clerical stuff. So want to kind of hear a game plan first, and then I'll start it off with everybody.
Okay, I have let you wonder a little bit, so anything now left for the small area plan? If not, let's go to the Cedar Mountain small area plan.
Yeah, well, I do have a few questions on the small area plan.
Sorry?
If I may, I have a few questions. So, it's been referenced several times, planning tools. What's the definition of planning tools? Or I think regulations is infrastructure, further investigation. I saw those specifically mentioned as planning tools. What else? What other things?
Again, there's not a clear definition of tools.
The way it's mentioned is like everybody knows what these planning tools are, and I for one do not.
Tools are any means of making the recommendations a realization. So if it's we'll return to the bike lane example. If a recommendation is that the community has provided a bike lane along 276, okay, then the tool would be the county commissioners and staff lobbying the North Carolina Department of Transportation to assist in the development of a bike lane down North Carolina 276, or some other means of providing that bike lane. Maybe it's not a bike lane directly along 276 like we hear, but some sort of greenway that runs not adjacent to 276, but in close proximity. Those are your tools. Other tools can be regulations, so changing of policies, whether that be land use regulation, cell tower, etc. Any of your ordinances, those are all tools for meeting what could be possible recommendations. Other tools, there's a question in the survey about public parks. Capital investment is another tool that is often mentioned inside a small area plan recommendation. It's all dependent on what the plan recommends to identifying what tools can achieve that recommendation.
So it sounds like a planning tool is really the how to accomplish a goal.
Absolutely.
How to. It's the how to. Okay. And they're not defined, but there are several that you can be creative, or the team can be creative and figure out. Thank you. That makes it more clear. Then the last thing, I mentioned this last month, and I do think it would be a good thing to do, so I would like to make a motion, I guess, that this team talk about our criteria for plan acceptance so that the Cedar Mountain folks would know what we'll be looking for in their document, short of us seeing their document.
Well,
and to me, that's how I've done decisions in the past, accept or not accept. I develop the criteria first and then make a decision. But I have some written down as examples if that would be helpful, or if the team is not interested in doing that, I'm okay with that.
Well, let me say this. It's up to that committee to develop the plan, doing how they want
to. I agree.
We don't tell them how to do it.
Right.
We review what they do and then tell them. Okay.
That's the funny thing about this, is that we do have an approval right.
Right.
At the end, but I think it would be helpful for them to know what we're thinking about and what we'll be looking for, so that they have a preview of coming attractions in terms of how to make their decision.
But it's not our plan.
It's not our plan. So, I'll give you just a few examples if that would be helpful. So, I would like to see that the data provides evidence for the plan, goals, and recommendations. So there's going to be a survey, and we're going to want to make sure that the data from the survey is consistent with the recommendations. That would be a criteria that I would be looking for as I'm looking at the plans that are coming to us. And I have a few other examples, but I think it would be useful for the team, for our team, the planning board, to discuss what those criteria might be.
I couldn't agree more with that, because I feel like from an efficiency thing, there's... for this to happen as efficiently as possible, if it's something we have to approve and they don't even know what we're looking for to approve, it's not saying, I don't think that Karen in any way is saying that we need to tell them how to do their small area plan. We are just trying to tell them what, if we are going to approve a small area plan, these are the minimum things that we are looking for. They can put more stuff in it, for sure, but if we've got things we're particularly looking for, Cedar Mountain Small Area Plan goes through all these meetings, and they develop what they can, and they bring it to us, and then we're like, oh, well, you're missing this one thing that we really want to see. It's a whole other round of them meeting again. Obviously, I'm sure they wouldn't mind including that in there, and they probably would like to acknowledge at a time that we want to see that included in there.
But that's one of those things we have to be extremely careful about, that from the very, very beginning, can see that we did not steer their process. But that is 100% their plan to come up with whatever they want, which we really can't steer anything until we get the survey, or even see the results of the survey, which is June or July 20th, I think. But I would recommend that we be very careful, and even in our review process, we don't steer their planning. Because it's their plan, not ours. All we'll be doing is looking over it and then making some recommendations. But it's their plan.
Could we look at like slide 12 from your presentation? It has this what typically an FAP, and I don't know if that might help us just understand what we should be looking for.
What page?
It was page 6, I think, slide
12. It's actually slide 13.
Or 13.
Or is slide 12 in your packet, slide 13, I apologize.
It is what's typically an FAP.
And again, there's no standard structure for FAPs in North Carolina. These are items that are typically found. I identify them in almost every plan that I look at, or in the majority of the plans that you look at that have been adopted by other localities. But they are not required in any plan.
No, I can, right. I think it's a great framework to start hanging our information off of, though. Because it starts to talk about some of the things, Karen, you know, the data analysis. Now, we might want to, at least internally, understand more comprehensively what data analysis we're looking for, but at least this feels like it starts to get the kind of list of major criteria points we're going to want to see.
Yep.
And if any one of these major ones are missing, we may be able to say, okay, but this is a major group that hasn't been addressed that we need to see and understand.
See, the beauty of it right now, they've already got their map. They've already got their vision statement. Data analysis, we're in the process right now, where they are, which will end July 20th. Their data analysis is public input. Their data analysis, because I already feel one out as a resident of Cedar Mountain, was existing conditions. And the trends through projections, that's going to be the big issue, I think.
So these things are not required to be in the plan. They could be in the plan, but they're not required. I would take it just one step further. I would want to see evidence in their recommendations of the community engagement. So they can say, we've done the survey, here's our recommendations, and if there's no link between the survey output and the recommendations, I would want to approve that plan. So that's just an example of, these are the elements, but I think it's the linkage, which are just criteria that I would think about in terms of approving a plan or not.
And I would view that as steering them in how to plan for their community. That's just helping to guide them to put together a good plan that we feel comfortable passing on to the commission.
And that slide right there, have they seen that slide?
This board asked for this presentation. I have not had the opportunity to give this presentation to the Cedar Mountain Small Area Committee yet. I met with their chair earlier this week and told him that I had prepared this presentation, and he mentioned that he thought it would be useful to provide it. So they are going to see this presentation at their meeting on the 28th this month.
I see that. That was like your slide right there.
Yeah.
When they see that, John, they're going to see what we're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, and I think if it's, I mean, I feel like that's what Karen's trying to say, is let's just let them know that these are the kind of things we're looking for. To work together with them, you know, so they feel like it's us working with them. Not guiding them how to plan for their community, but that we want to work with them to help them achieve the things they want in their community.
It'll be interesting to see what percentage of the community responds to that survey.
I don't think you're going to get the situations you're talking about. The data says this, they recommend this. To some extent, I think at this point, they have some preconceived recommendations.
And then that's where you could get the last linkage.
But that can be rectified during their process when they see the data. And hopefully, those people aren't dumb, and that they realize that, well, wait a minute. Okay, so we want a bike path along P76. Only three people want it. You know, I think they will say, well, maybe we don't want a bike path. We'd rather have a swimming pool or whatever comes out of it. I don't know what's going to come out of it. I will say that I was concerned in the beginning on this small area plan about the relatively small number of people that get in. This new survey, somebody told me that they had almost immediately over 300 responses, which was way more than they had on the spirit committee had.
But there's only 1,500 or so of the property owners in Cedar Mountain.
I've got an update for you on the survey in your next time.
All right. Are we ready to get off of this? Or?
Yeah, I'd like to see us move into the new business.
What would you help you? Let's see. Are we ready for the update, I believe, now? Yeah. Ready for the update.
So Cedar Mountain Small Area Plan Committee met most recently Tuesday, June 23rd. At that meeting, the committee discussed six separate items of business, taking action on five of those. The actions are listed there. The proposed planning boundary modifications that you saw at your last meeting, they unanimously adopted those. The draft Cedar Mountain Small Area Plan timeline was approved. You saw that at your last meeting. The outline that you had seen, the draft at your last meeting, was approved as well. The draft Cedar Mountain Small Area Plan history section, they actually chose to direct staff to reach out to a local historian in the Cedar Mountain area to revise that draft. I have been working with that historian this week, and we intend to have a new draft for the Cedar Mountain committee to review at their meeting on the 28th. The draft and the last item that they discussed, which took the majority of the meeting, was the draft survey, which they made some modifications to a couple of the questions on the draft survey and approved it so that staff could present it to the public. There's that planning boundary. Again, you saw this at your last meeting. I just wanted to put it up there as well. Again, that timeline, and again, you saw that at your meeting last month. The table of contents that they approved, which is essentially their plan outline of what's going to be included in their plan. And then an update on the survey. As of 7:30 this morning, staff had collected 453 electronic respondents. We had a couple physical survey responses as well that we have not included yet. The survey closes at 11:59 p.m. Monday, July 29th. Staff has placed two advertisements in the Transylvania County Times directing the community to go and participate in the survey. We also sent out postcard notifications to 1,061 individual parcel owners in that defined planning boundary. So anyone that is listed as a parcel owner in that defined planning boundary received a postcard, or we intended to receive a postcard. As you can see there, we've actually gotten back about 47 of those postcards, but out of 1,061, I'm pretty happy with that number.
Because they were undeliverable?
Correct.
That's very common.
And then,
47?
Yeah, 49 maybe as of this afternoon. That was this morning when I checked it. And then a link to participation. There's the survey link. If anybody's watching online right now, if you just type that into any URL browser, you can participate in the Cedar Mountain Small Area Plan survey.
That's 47. Was that 47 responses or 47 that couldn't be delivered?
That was 47 postcards could not be delivered. They were delivered back to the county, could not reach their destination.
So the small number is really good news.
Correct. The postcard got to the owners. We're really excited about that. We're actually really, really excited about the 453 respondents. You would have heard Mr. Toomey state that that he felt that the population was about 15,000. If you look at the census data, their planning boundary doesn't identically align with the census tract, so it's hard to determine exactly what the population is for that planning boundary. But it's probably somewhere in between that 1,500-2,000 range. So getting 453 responses back in less than 2 weeks, that's pretty exciting. We're hoping to get a couple more responses in the next couple of days that will really help kind of solidify the validity of that data.
Well, and I just ran the figures. That's 42.7% of the parcel landowners out there.
Correct.
That far exceeds what most people expect to get off.
I think it's awesome. And can there be two people respond? Is it two adults per parcel?
So
can both?
That can vary. So that's not a great gauge. It's a good gauge, but it's not a great one because the parcel owner, we sent the mailer out to one individual parcel owner or two individual parcel owners, depending on how the ownership is listed. If it's only one parcel owner listed, but three people live in the household, three people can take the survey for one parcel. So that's not, that it wouldn't gauge out to be 40-something percent. But having 1,061 individual parcel owners and having 453 respondents is pretty good. The fact that we also identified in the survey, we asked if you are a property owner, we can extrapolate data to identify how many owners participated, and that will give us a better gauge of the percent of ownership. Just continue the update. Tuesday, July 28th at 6 p.m., the Cedar Mountain Small Area Planning Committee will meet in here again. The meeting will be available at a live stream, the same live stream that anybody is watching right now at this meeting. The agenda that is approved by their chair is a review of that draft history section again, a new FAQ resource for their webpage on the county's website, a draft current and natural resources section that Darby is preparing for them, a draft demographic section that I'm working to prepare for them. They plan to discuss future public workshop opportunities. In the day and age of COVID, I imagine that is going to be a very difficult conversation. Typical best practice workshops for small area plans can range in a number of ways, but none of them allow social distancing typically. So that'll be a very interesting discussion. It'll be very challenging to identify how we're going to set up those workshops. A public input survey update, we'll provide that to them. At that point, the survey will have closed. It would not have allowed us enough time to really prepare a full report of all the data yet. So they won't get a full report of the survey, but they will get an update how many participants, and we'll try and identify some of the trends in the survey data that we can validate prior to that meeting. And they will also begin their discussion of the goals of their plan, using maybe some of the survey information that I can provide and basing it off of former community communications and some of their prior meetings of public input to identify what are some possible goals for their plan. I don't anticipate that they will approve any goals prior to having all the survey data in front of them, but they will begin that discussion this month. And that is the end of the update that I had for the Cedar Mountain Small Area Plan.
Alan, this process, I think, is moving pretty well for being the first one in the county. Don't you?
I am pretty happy. They have gotten a lot of work done prior to me coming on board. It is as you saw in your presentation, a big indicator of how quickly a small area plan can get accomplished is the catalyst for the plan. So how invested your community is. This community is very invested in this plan. We saw that by the quick response rate. I think on the third or fourth day that we had the survey open, we had almost 200 respondents, which is incredible for a small rural community. So I've been very impressed with the community's involvement thus far, especially considering some of the restrictions that we're having to put in place to keep everybody safe during the pandemic.
Well, I hate to say it, Kevin, but they'd be helping us on that. That means more people at home taking the survey.
Any other comments, questions, concerns? See your hand.
I absolutely agree with everything that's been said. The number of respondents and the time frame in which they've done it is really encouraging and very optimistic that the plan will have good input from their citizens.
Okie dokie. New business, future Castleton County land development ordinance. We've already talked about that.
You have began that discussion already tonight, and I will just provide you a little bit of information, and I'm going to let you then direct staff on how you want this to proceed. So, referring back to the 160D changes, discussing that with the manager and the governing board, also identify that this is an opportunity to try and, so to speak, kill two birds with one stone, to identify any other changes that we can include with this whole modification, with this amendment, and include them all in one lump sum. How you want to go about that process is up to you. Again, you can go about just making the required changes. You can even do it inside a consent agenda if you want it. I would recommend that you place eyes on them, just so you know what's in these ordinances that you supervise, but it can be done in a consent agenda, just to answer that question. And I have prepared a process, a proposed process, it's being used by other localities, on how to attack these amendment modifications that you're going to be making over the next year. But in an effort to update the county land development ordinance, staff has prepared a proposed process that will extend over the next year. The steps below outline a process to evaluate the necessary changes, engage stakeholders, provide transparent platforms for updating your ordinances that also complies with county and state public hearing requirements. The opportunities where you as a board will have the opportunity, will be able to discuss the ordinances that will be highlighted in green. So here in this process, we outline the first step being that our staff will assess the necessary changes to the county ordinance. So that's where we will kind of extrapolate what are the required changes in the ordinances, what are the recommended changes, and what are some general staff recommended changes outside of what 160D is discussing. I would propose that you allow us probably another month to get through that. We've been working through our material to try and identify. Darby's been working very hard to identify a lot of the clerical changes and all the very monotonous portions of the ordinances that need to be changed, and I'm really thankful for her for that. But through August, we think that's a pretty fair time frame for us to get through all 11 of those ordinances and identify those. We then would like, also part of this process, we want to introduce the process to the board. We're doing that tonight, as you can see. We then want to introduce the process to the Board of Commissioners, probably at their last meeting in August, should this board identify that this is a good process or make any modifications, recommend any changes. And then we want to engage the public as well. These are text amendments. This affects the public, even if they are minor changes. The public needs to be made aware. So we would engage the public and do that in a number of different ways, possibly use some advertising material, using social media. We plan to use a web page on our county website to provide the public plenty of information on the required changes, as well as any recommended changes that maybe this board or staff may propose. Then there will be board discussion for necessary changes, and then policy options being those alternatives for you to recommend changes or staff to recommend changes. We hope to begin that discussion by October. And that is where, as Mr. Jackson mentioned, you could have the liberty to change your meeting settings to accommodate some of that work if you intend to try and tackle it all in the course of this year. We also want to then engage the public. Once we have some possible policy reforms from this board, from the Board of Commissioners, from staff, we want to make the public aware of those. We also want to make the public aware that these are not required changes by state statute, but these are changes for better interpretation of our ordinance or more efficient workflow through the planning department, etc. We'll then get those draft text amendments prepared, and hopefully doing that inside the month of February. And then provide those final drafts to this board sometime in February or March, depending on how quickly, how many changes are proposed to be made, how quickly we can modify those text amendments. Once this planning board has had the opportunity to review those, we do have to take them to the Board of Commissioners for a regular public hearing process, so advertising the meeting, and then allowing some time for the Board of Commissioners to possibly make any modifications that they may deem necessary. You can see there that I've allowed about 3 months for that process, because our Board of Commissioners only regularly meet twice a month, so prolonging public hearings could take 6 weeks or so. But, again, the necessary changes have to be made effective July 1st, 2021. Policy reforms, recommended policy reforms, do not have to be made by July 1st, 2021. We will identify the difference between the two, but the required changes, according to North Carolina 160D, do have to be done by that date.
This gives the budget process to be going on the same time for the Board of Commissioners.
It will. There'll be a whole lot of fun stuff at once.
That's wonderful.
And those, as we've identified earlier in this meeting, those are your 11 ordinances, documents that will have required changes that this board is responsible for.
So let's clarify that. Flood damage prevention and watershed protection.
Correct.
Weren't those taken from the purview of this board and moved into another board?
The Board of Commissioners has direct responsibility for all of these ordinances. The Board of Commissioners can also determine how they want the ordinances modified, what authority. All of the land code development ordinances are listed here. As a planning board, your review is necessary for any text amendments. Now, whether that be you make recommendations for any of these ordinances, if they will be accepted by the Board of Commissioners, your recommendation, as we've discussed, is not authority. Anyone can apply for a text amendment. Any citizen in... I'm sorry.
So I thought we lost or not lost. That would be... That should not go in notes. I thought the floodplain stuff was taken from the purview of the planning board and put into the building...
Not the responsibility. So the discussion of the administration of those was moved to the Board of Commissioners, who building code responds directly to. So building code does not respond directly to this planning board. They would respond to the Board of Commissioners on the administration. So how that policy is change, whether that be interpretation aside of what's required by the state of North Carolina, that's where the Board of Commissioners are making a decision on the floodplain prevention. But it is still a land development ordinance, so as a part of the 160D requirements, planning boards have the opportunity to review those necessary changes in the floodplain prevention ordinance, or in the flood danger prevention ordinance.
I hear what you're saying, and maybe I'm misunderstanding something, but it seemed really odd to me that, you know, that Mr. Timmy put together all that time to present something to us, and it was like, oh no, we're not going to do that. You guys are not in charge of that anymore. You're not even, Mr. Timmy's not even going to be able to present this stuff to you. And then now, all of a sudden, now you're back reviewing it. It seemed really unfair to me, and I don't know what I'm misunderstanding.
Clerical responsibility, but not content responsibility.
I will say, any citizen in Transylvania County has the right to propose text amendments, has the right to propose changes to a policy. That's state statute. Being a citizen in Transylvania County, you are at your liberty to propose changes to an ordinance at any time. It is not your authority as a planning board to mandate those changes. It is the authority of the Board of Commissioners to mandate those changes. Being a land code development in the state of North Carolina, a land code development ordinance, it is, according to state statute, it is per your review of these changes. And because they are mandated by the state, we have to have a look at them. You also have to have a look at it. Just as if the Board of Commissioners proposed any changes to the floodplain or to the flood damage preservation ordinance outside of what's required by the state statute, you would review those as well and provide recommendations.
Now, we just, within the last year or so, the watershed protection, we reviewed that. That should be Mountain Ridge Protection, I believe, instead of Range. We did that, and we also did the telecommunications tower ordinance. We reviewed those. So we'll probably still have the watershed. I believe because of the movement of the flood damage ordinance to building and permitting, I think that will more or less go through the commissioners now. I don't know if we'll have a chance to see it or not.
You will certainly see the 160D required changes and any recommended changes by staff. And we will coordinate with building code staff, with Mike Owen, about any recommended changes he would make to make that ordinance more efficient or more easily interpreted, and you can provide your input there. What was discussed last month, or in May, was a total rehaul of the ordinance. The Board of Commissioners established that they would like to be the ones to do the total rehaul of that ordinance, as was done with the noise ordinance. And does that make that more clear? I apologize if I didn't come off clear to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, it still seems odd, I guess. It's not. I'm not trying to say that it seems like something fishy or anything like that. It just seems odd that it was like, because I was under the impression that we would have nothing to do with flood control or flood prevention, like going forward. No, not reviewing it, not looking at it at all. That's the way I took that last meeting when it was like, no, we don't talk about it at all. It would almost, I mean, does that make sense? It wasn't like, yeah, you guys are welcome to talk about it. It's like, nope, we're not talking about it at all.
I would say that Bob Timmy knows more about that than anybody in the Village of Code on this subject.
That was my interpretation as well, which is why I made the question. So it sounds like for now we have the clerical responsibility of doing the 160D and the content, not so much.
Well, I say we can make whatever content recommendations we feel necessary with Bob's guidance, and what the commissioners choose to do with those recommendations based upon that guidance is what the commissioners choose to do.
It's a big ordinance.
I would also mention that the Board of Commissioners are in the process of reviewing some of our floodplain administration. They got a very lengthy presentation from Mr. Terry Fox earlier this month on floodplain administration. So it is something that they are considering now.
Yeah, actually, I met Terry after last meeting. Terry gave him a presentation. Terry and I go back about 35 years. And also with Mike Owen, when I was still with NRCS, we communicated amongst ourselves very, fairly often. He would help me, I would help him, we would call Terry, Terry would come up and go look at things. It was a wonderful working relationship. And I think, I'll just say this about Mike Owen, he's a wonderful boy, and he knows what flooding is around here.
I would say that's correct. And I think it's just, I look at it as I want to do something. You know, I want to have an impact. That's the reason I'm here. And through my dad, who worked with Bob Timmy on several projects with our land, he's proven it to not only my family, but the whole agricultural camp and people in this county as well. Who are looking for better community support by the planning department and all that. And I just think as a man out of everybody here, like Bob said, what a missed opportunity for us to have an impact.
Alan, we can come back to it when you're done, I guess. I just want to go back two slides right now. I don't mean to ask a dumb question, but what's the difference between public, or number five, board changes and policy options versus public engagement policy choices?
So that section of public engagement is where we will identify to the public and provide the public with any policy changes that this board recommends outside of those that are mandated by state statute. So if, for, to return to the example, if this board deems it appropriate to recommend that we allow electronic signatures on plat review, we would want to make that information available to the public so that we can gauge their interest in that. Any other number of possible policy reforms that you would recommend, that item 6 is the opportunity for us to engage the public on those, get feedback, so we can bring it back to this board, or bring it back, or take it to the Board of Commissioners for their review as well.
Okay, that helps. Helps me to understand it. Thank you. Our current board of 7 individuals, how is that number landed on? Is that a mandated number, or?
As you see in your bylaws, it's mandated by the county charter. I believe the planning board construction can vary. I think the minimum is 5, if I'm not mistaken, in the state of North Carolina. But I know of boards that are as many as 9. So it's not mandated by the state how many you have, but it is mandated in your charter, as you see in item B of our new business.
I ask that in just thinking with a big workload and small area planning, and I would imagine, I'd like to think that there aren't a whole lot of ordinance changes that need to be made, but I think there's a lot of them are old and outdated, and there might be more. And when I look at that list of the 11, flood damage prevention, manufactured home park, planning, anyway, the entire list of the 11, for example, having Bob Timmy is awesome for the flood damage prevention. I would like to think that we could go through that with having an expert on our team fairly quickly and with a lot of confidence. I don't know, I'm wondering if we had 9, would that make us a more equipped board to have, the odds would be in our favor that we've got more people that specialize in certain things or have a better understanding of certain things.
Just to
spread the workload out.
To go about adding 2 more members to your board, that requires an amendment first. So it is in your charter that you would have 7 board members appointed by the Board of Commissioners. To add 2 more, you have to propose a text amendment that is reviewed by this board, and then held a public hearing, reviewed by the Board of Commissioners, approved, and then go about the process of appointing 2 more board members, or the Board of Commissioners accepting applications and appointing 2 more board members. So there's actually an easy process ahead of even getting 2 more board members on here before they can pick up some of that workload. Just to make
so sure. In the short term, it definitely would not help out with the immediate thing that we need to do, because it would only add to it.
Probably.
Slow the commissioner down, trying to add more members and all of that. Yeah, I get it.
I like the idea of divide and conquer, though.
Yeah.
I think of where you were going.
It kind of is, and we can do that among 7. We don't have to have 9.
Right.
We can do it among 5. And I think as a team, maybe we try to use our resources at what we're best at, and, we've got somebody who's spent a career in the building industry. Anything in here that relates to that, we give that homework, and I'm not yet.
Yeah, but what I'd love to see is, in addition to this list, is to see when they were last updated. So back to your point, and are they complicated or simple? And I think even the ones that are short can be relatively complicated. So
yeah,
I actually, pardon me, you would agree with that. I looked up the. Could you put that list back up, please? Yes, I looked up the scenic corridor one. It's a 1-pager. But it should be so much more in my mind. But so it's short, but it could be more. And so it's there could be more added potential complexity to it. But that said, it would be great to know maybe when they were last updated and how many pages they are as a surrogate for how complicated.
And that's all information we can provide to you at your next meeting.
also feel like with that and dividing among us maybe, and not to say that we can't all do the research, but if kind of somebody knows, that's their goal, to try to answer these questions. In going through the noise ordinance, the hands down most helpful thing to me throughout that entire process, that part of it that I was involved in, was when law enforcement officers came and talked to us. I mean, that was people that have dealt with it, been involved with it, experienced it, and knew more about it, and I learned more from him. And so same thing, if we're talking about seeing a corridor, somebody that's specialized in culture, somebody specializes in that, I don't know who that person would be, but if we knew that's what we were talking about, have that person come and do a presentation for us.
Absolutely.
It would be a big help in that case.
There's a number of different resources we can reach out to on behalf of the board to provide you more context. I don't claim to be an expert in any one of these. I will do my best to educate myself to assist the board. But yes, North Carolina School of Government has a number of great resources that can help with all these ordinances. Different North Carolina agencies will also provide resources that can help us. If you identify which ones, as we're getting into these ordinances, that you want more context, we will do our best to accommodate that, whether that be an in-person presentation, similar to how Mr. Fox was with the Board of Commissioners earlier this month, or providing someone here virtually, our Transportation Advisory Commission had a presentation from North Carolina Department of Transportation, Steve Williams, one of their engineers, just the other night. So that's all things that we can accommodate for this board to help as you assess these ordinances.
Cool. Can I just make a question? We have to get through the 160D stuff. We have a set timeline. We can look at all these for that. We do not need to, at the same time, get into depth on the ones we choose to kind of look at. And I'm not saying I want to take down the road. I'm just saying that we're going to have a chance to read every one of these ordinances as part of 160D. And I think that and your guidance would help us see, okay, well, the scenic is so underdeveloped that we definitely have to, we want to address that. We don't have to address it in the next year.
Correct.
So I think there is a little more flexibility there. That's why maybe I'm not freaking out too much. It's like, I want to read every one of these and find out what's in them, and then get the 160 stuff done, which I think is clerical, and figure out, okay, which one of these do we feel are really critical to deal with?
The 160D is largely clerical.
Right.
There are not controversial topic changes, but as you saw, and I pulled that information directly from the school government resources, there are not controversial changes inside of 160D. We still need to go about a process of making the changes because they are text amendments, and that's why we propose this process. We are opening the opportunity to also allow amendments to these ordinances that need to be done, and that you identify and that maybe our community identifies to help facilitate some of our land development processes. Like we mentioned, electronic signatures is one. Providing physical copies of subdivision plats is another that I would recommend. And staff can provide those to you. A lot of them will be no-brainers. A lot of them maybe you won't agree with, and that is fine. We just want to establish that process to maybe kind of give staff some guidance on how we can proceed week to week between board meetings and allow you the time to prepare for these meetings and these ordinance reviews as well. Oh, I did have recommendations. I apologize. But you'll see there in your recommendations, as I mentioned, staff just recommend that you as a board review and discuss this process as we've been doing for the last few minutes, provide us feedback, what you've done, and make any recommendations that we can take to the Board of Commissioners as I present this process to them as well.
Everybody had their say, input, any more comments? Anybody want to cry or anything like that?
Maybe a motion to handle, take one of these meetings and just handle them. Nothing but clerical and get it out of the way.
We can do that. We can create an agenda item for one of your future meetings, just to identify all the required changes according to 160b4. We will go through all your ordinances, and I'll identify each one of those clerical changes, each one of those mandated changes.
Right.
So you can go ahead and get those in your rear view. You've seen them, you understand them, and then proceed with other non-mandated changes after that.
I foresee that as we all have a passion here on this board for different ordinances, but to get to this clerical elementary kind of just stuff out of the way, which y'all have as a planning department to get anything accomplished, and you need our disapproval of motions to carry up and so forth, I think that would be the most efficient way, in my opinion.
So would we need to have an ordinance, you just made a motion on that. If it's all clerical, do we really even need a motion? Am I missing something?
You're making a motion to give staff clear direction on when you want to do that. So if the motion, as I would recommend it, you would motion to review the mandated changes in accordance with North Carolina General Statute 160B at said meeting.
What meeting gives you adequate time to prepare those?
I think that your October meeting gives us plenty of time. That allows me and the rest of my staff to continue to review these text amendments. It also gives us time to send them to TV Campbell, our county's legal counsel, and hopefully they can have a review back to us before you see them as well. There will be legal counsel at some point in this process, whether it's before you do some of your recommended policy changes or after. They will need to see the 160D required changes before they're adopted, before July 1st, and give us and give us their input.
I think that was honestly, I think that's, it's like we got a new county attorney now, right?
Correct.
I think we've had two or three since I've. So that's the slowdown part, and I get that. Y'all have to have that signed off on for liability reasons before y'all have carried through the motion and then put it in place. You're not going to be able to do anything until the clerical stuff gets out of the way.
Right, but even before that, you do have to do a public engagement piece of that.
Right.
Even for just the clerical changes.
Well, that's maybe another meeting.
Once they've established that,
or else we're going to get too convoluted and then we're going to be talking about too many different things and then nothing gets accomplished.
My goal is to have drafts of the required changes by the end of August. I think that's very feasible considering the work that Darby is doing and consulting with school government. Getting those drafts then to T. Campbell, who are very good at their job and are already aware of this. I've spoken with Natalia, if you remember from the discussions on the noise ordinance, about these changes. I don't think that there will be a very long turnover for them to review those changes, especially if we identify them as being mandated. I just want to make sure that we are getting the references correct more than anything else and the definitions stated correctly according to how they're supposed to be in 160D. So my hope is then that we have those changes back in a relatively quick turnover to put them on the website, provide some notice to the public, and maybe inform them that this board will be looking at those mandated changes at their October, maybe November meeting. And at that point, like you said, we can get those in the rear view and you can begin discussing any other possible changes to include in this whole text amendment at the end of the process.
So that public engagement doesn't have to be at a meeting. That can be simply by telling them that it's on the website?
Correct. The only mandated meeting public request for text amendments is a public hearing, which would be hosted by the Board of Commissioners probably according to this process sometime between April and June.
Well, we don't have to go to a meeting to public engagement is what I just finally realized. There's no meeting required for that.
No
meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe a concern, and I agree with all of this. I mean, I was definitely at the very beginning, so why can't we approve all of these things that we have no choice in up front? A concern that I would have is making sure this is very clearly it's complete clear understanding to the general public, because I would be a little concerned about the general public's concern that we are not fully reviewing these. And
disappointment.
Yeah, complete disappointment. And if they don't have a full understanding
of why we are just approving, why all we did to the floodplain was change it from 160A to 160D. I mean, there are going to be people really upset, and the public perception of us reviewing these ordinances properly, I think they're going to be pretty upset if it's not well communicated to them. That we are going to go back and review these. It is our intention, but these clerical changes have to be done by law, and we don't want to rush the full review of these ordinances because we're stuck to a timeline.
Unless we're going to have a lot more meetings, I don't think there's any way we can do anything. But
I agree 100%.
But
what
I back and do the other.
I agree 100%. But I just want it to be clearly stated and clearly understood to the general public that we're not. This is not the review of the floodplain ordinance, and now we're done. Because if they think that, they're going to be upset. We're going to have people really upset.
And we will make that specifically.
Okay. Yeah. That's all I'm asking. I agree with the plan. I just want to make sure everybody else understands.
Well, as I'm saying what I've said, I'm not opposed to additional meetings, but I don't know what that does to the rest of these people. You know, I can meet again tomorrow.
You got a little luxury of retirement.
I know you two work. I know he works.
I mean, theoretically.
Theoretically, okay.
I usually work on
that. These guys are not going to put on just that either.
No, I agree. And I'm not saying we try to squeeze more meetings in to review this ordinance and get the floodplain completed and where we're satisfied with it by then. I just don't want the public to perceive that we are reviewing this thing and we're done and all we did was change the wording from 168 to 160D. They're going to be really disappointed if that's what they think our review is.
And it might be that, you know, maybe we'll need a couple extra people or something, even to get the mandatory stuff out of the way. I don't know. And if we do, I hope everybody will jump in.
In my review of your mandated changes that have been in these ordinances, they're very minimal. It's not a lot of big stuff. A lot of the topics, like the definitions, are a lot of the big changes you see in some other ordinances. We don't define some of our ordinances because we don't have elaborate zoning regulation. A lot of the information that 160D touches on is zoning pertinent, and we have a very small zoning ordinance, a not very elaborate zoning ordinance. So a lot of the changes that other localities are going to have to really make sure they're public aware of won't concern us because they're not addressed in our ordinance if they're not regulated at this time.
And get some outside help, maybe some of this stuff, like you talked about some presentations.
Yep. Do we not? Hopefully that would not be your main motion, correct?
That's
all right. There was never a second on it. I'll second his motion. And all this discussion, I'm sorry. All this discussion occurred before there was a second, but it's been seconded.
I think we need.
Thank you, sir.
I'll take a motion if you want to do one, but I think we need to be careful about it tonight so we know a little bit more about what we're involved in. But you guys are voting. Whatever you want to do.
Let me ask you, if I understood what your motion was, it was to give staff guidance to prepare that laundry list of mandated changes by October.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Did
somebody
reach
the motion? Tell me
the
motion again.
All the clerical changes to be summarized once by October and presented back to the board here. And then we'll choose a meeting date to just do none of the clerical changes in an effort to get more efficiency so we can then, as John Wayne alluded to, dive deep into each ordinance. And each one of us is going to have, I know which one Bob's going to be good at, you know, and each one of us hopefully has enough experience for you can take the lead role for the board here to lead as you direct.
So I understand the motion is that we proceed with making the called clerical changes.
For us to have more impact, we've got to get their hands are cut.
They're going to put together the what needs to be done, and we're going to work on that immediately. Hopefully, you want to put a month on it or not?
He said October 8th.
October is perfectly reasonable for staff to get you to draft those required changes.
Okay, everybody.
Thank you.
Everybody understands. So we've got a second.
Second.
All right, any discussion about that?
No, that makes sense to me.
All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, guys, we have a civil job. All right, let's go on if we can. You guys will love this. We're going to review the Transylvania County Planning Board bylaws. There's some words. Y'all know we have bylaws?
Kenzie, do you have those? You can borrow mine if you need them.
Chapter 16 of the county rules and regulations, planning and development. And I hope you read the rules. They weren't too bad. Not too many therefores and wherefores. That sort of thing. It does set out some things that we are required to do, in my mind.
I'm sorry, could you explain to me what the goal of this next so many minutes of conversation is? Are we going to go through this line by line? Are we going to generally agree with what's here? Are
we going to
talk about changes? I didn't know how to come prepared.
What do you suggest, Alan?
You are not required to do anything. I discussed this with Mr. Jackson last week as an item for one, you to review your bylaws, just give this board the opportunity to see their bylaws, understand that your bylaws or your charter is one of those ordinances that is subject to the Chapter 160B changes. So, for example, just to give you an idea of some of these clerical changes that we've mentioned a couple times, if you look at Section 16-20, established, it states that the County Planning Board is hereby established under the authority granted in GS 153A, 321 and 153A, 322. Those numbers are going to change. That's some of the clerical changes you're going to see. When I say that you have mandated changes, that's going to change to 160D. Tonight, if you want the opportunity to review these bylaws and identify if there's any possible changes you want staff to start looking into, an example I'll give is at our last meeting, Mr. Toomey mentioned that he was under the impression that there is required board training or required board education. There is no evidence of that. There's no mention of it in your bylaws, and to the best of my knowledge, I've reached out to legal counsel, the North Carolina School of Government, as well as our clerk to our board, which manages all of our boards and councils. There is no state-mandated requirement for education. That doesn't mean that you can't require education for the Transylvania County Planning Board. You could indicate in some new section of this charter that you will require 5 hours of extra education per year per Planning Board member, or on average per Planning Board member. Those are the type of policy reforms that you can be making recommendations on over the course of the next year, and this item was just a general kind of introduction to that discussion.
Now, Alan, tonight we went through the review of several things that I thought theoretically could have been called training. That was really very helpful. I mean, it was a good review. I know on the Soil and Water Board, though, we are required,
as
elected folks on that, to have training.
There are boards that are required training. The Joint Historic Resource Commission, they have required training. Different boards have differing requirements depending on whose authority they work under. If it's a state board, et cetera, you may have some required training, but the planning board does not have any required training to my knowledge.
The reviews that we went through tonight, if time allows, over the next duration of our terms and all that, if we can take a few minutes at, you know, every once a quarter on going through something like what you did here, that's excellent. I mean, that's just my idea on it.
Oh, one thing I thought that I was just, in 1622A says the chairman, I'm assuming the bar board, shall be appointed by the county commissioner. And didn't we
I haven't been doing it in years.
Okay.
That is one of those things that we are trying to touch on with this process. Most of the boards across our county appoint their own chair, even though their bylaws might say differently. So there's no state regulation as to that you have to operate that way. That's the recommended change that this board can make to the board commissioners. You are operating this way, have been operating this way for a while. Can we make it official? Things like that.
I mean, I don't mind the county commissioner's appointment, but at the same time, it seems like it would just slow down the process, and I think we can do a pretty. If they entrust us to make a lot of the other recommendations that we do, but don't entrust us to appoint our own chair, it seems kind of silly.
I'll second that.
So, I mean, I don't know if this is the time we're trying to review this, but when I saw that, it kind of jumped out at me that it's something we've just recently done.
It did me too, and I've been aware of this board and some meetings for 10 or 12 years. I don't know. They're always elected.
Just to help with the conversation, I provided a recommended change. This would actually be my staff recommendation. So we've had a couple discussions in the time that I've been here about reviewing the comprehensive plan status. It says in your bylaws that it is your obligation to review that comprehensive plan annually. It doesn't indicate in there when you review that comprehensive plan annually. That typically will make it more difficult in preparing a timeline and assisting staff in preparing for that review. So determining when you want that review to be in a fiscal year would be a possible recommendation you can make as an amendment to your charter.
I guess, as Karen mentioned at first, what's the point of this purpose? I have a little more direction of the points of why this has been here now. I move that we all take the opportunity to review this and see things that we need to change and discuss those changes in the next meeting's agenda. I'm not prepared to make those changes right now because I didn't understand that's what we were doing, but I think if I know that, I can go home between now and the next meeting and be more prepared to make changes to these bylaws. So I would make a move that it be on next month's agenda.
Yeah, I second that.
Well, the motion, I'll also remind you there's another section here called Rules of Procedure. May want to include that.
And I would just go ahead and mention with the rules and procedures, I'm trying to get some guidance on whose authority it is to change those. So as I understand, the Board of Commissioners at some point review those rules and procedures and approve them, but it clearly states in there that you have the authority to review and change them. So I'm going to get some clarification from legal counsel on whose authority can change your rules and procedures before you do propose any changes. So you know that if it's your authority or if the Board of Commissioners also have to approve and you just recommend.
I like it if we can make our own rules. It'd be awesome.
I second that motion.
So what are you saying?
I wouldn't recommend any changes to your rules and procedures until I can get you some feedback from legal counsel on whose authority it is to change your rules and procedure. It's the commissioner's authority to change your charter, the first document. You provide recommendations to the board of commissioners to change that. but it states in here in your rules and procedures that you can make changes. I don't know if it's intended that you can make recommended changes or if you actually have the authority to make changes without the Board of Commissioners approving.
Yeah, but his motion is that we table this and make basically for a moment and we come back next time to prepare to make some
make recommendations for commissioners.
That's the current motion.
That's what we're doing.
Yes, sir.
It's been seconded.
That includes the
rules and procedures.
Procedures at the same time, so.
So I'm confused. I thought Alan just recommended that we not include rules and procedures.
No, I apologize, and I didn't make myself clear. I will have an answer for you at your next meeting. I just wanted to make you aware that if you intended to discuss this any further tonight, that I don't know who's authority it is.
Yes, okay. So we'll review. I think it would be smart for us to also be familiar with the rules and procedures, and if we want to make changes to those, next meeting you'll let us know if we can make those changes or if we need to make recommended changes.
Yeah, we'll
and then we'll know. Either way, we'll discuss it.
All right, I have a motion. I heard somebody say that.
Me.
Any more discussion about this?
Yeah. Now, let me just make sure. That's, we're looking at Article 1 Planning Board.
Article 1?
This, in other words, we're looking at this document right here.
I don't know what you've got.
Can you read the title of it?
This came in our package, Article 1, Planning Board, Section 16.1, Board Established, and so forth and so on. So that's what we're going to review over the next month and come to our next meeting with recommended changes. That's your recommendation, right, gentlemen?
That's correct.
Okay.
What article do you have?
Article I, Planning Board.
No, number.
That's not what we. There was so much stuff sent out.
Let me stumble when we got there. Where's my walking stick?
I can maybe even make this simpler. Is it possible to have what we are talking about reviewing sent out to us?
Okay. Yes, so I mean, what you should have in your packet, and I apologize if we had an issue with the physical packet that we sent out, if that's what you have. But it should be Chapter 16 of the County's Code of Ordinances, which addresses planning and development. And that includes Article 1, Article 2, in which Article 2 includes 16... or section 16, 1620 through 1629.
Okay,
I
somehow missed that.
Could you be sure he gets?
I'll make sure that everyone has an accurate copy.
Okay, with that, is there any more discussion or concerns or confusion or anything?
So let's just clarify, for our discussion next week, what we're going to come for next month, what we're going to come prepared with is not the clerical changes. We're not going to deal with the clerical changes. We're going to look at the content.
I think you're going to deal with both. You can find a glaring.
Oh, no, I'm talking about this.
It has nothing to do with that next month.
Nothing to do with that next month. We're looking more at the substantial.
All right.
The content.
Everybody ready to vote? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I guess we're done. All right. Next thing, since we hadn't talked any tonight, we're going to have a director's report.
If you will indulge me just for a couple more moments, the office has been working in the last month in a temporary office structure as the county has improved and updated our permanent office space. We will be getting we got a new HVAC system, new carpet, a remodeled break/workroom, and new paint for on top of everything else. We hope that we will be moved back in early next week. They are putting down the carpet. They started that today. They will hopefully have it done over the weekend, and we can start moving back upstairs on Monday or Tuesday. I want to also make this board aware that there is no Board of Commissioners meeting in the 1st of August, August 10th. That meeting was canceled earlier this month. And that's all I have. Bye.
More comments?
Oh, you have...
We need to get her on my end.
My name is Christy Blakely, and I'll be quick. I know that it's late. Just wanted to ask about the small area plan process. I was looking through the examples that were given of small area plans, particularly the one from Cashers and East Flat Rock, because they're closest to us. And I noticed that those plans identify, for example, the Regional Transportation Planner, Chamber of Commerce, Economic Development, that was in Cashers, also Farm Services Agency, Natural Heritage, Economic Development, Historical Society, County Transportation, and even East Flat Rock, they had a commissioner serve as a commissioner rep in those processes. Not that I'm suggesting that all that needs to be done here or included in CC Mountain or anything like that, but rather to wonder, is there a formal invitation of like Transylvania County entities that could engage and educate and support the small area plan process and possibly advocate or endorse what that small area community might recommend or suggest? And the reason that I say this is twofold. One is that it could really help the community, the residents, who, by the way, a lot of them are just regular old folks, that it's a very daunting task to even think about putting together basically a comprehensive vision plan for their little community, and they don't know what they don't know. But maybe if, say, county EMS comes in and says, well, you know what, here, here, and here, in your map area, you get flooding all the time. Some of them might know that, some of them don't, depending on the routes they take, but it may form a decision for them. So that's just an example. But maybe Natural Resources talks to them about what natural resources they have there that could just, it could percolate some thinking on their part of what to include in their plans. And then the other reason why I think it's relevant and important is that those agencies, organizations, departments, experts, whoever they are, it might give this planning board a better opportunity to approve and support if there's also other support coming from these other groups. And then there's the feasibility of it being approved and adopted by the commissioners if they see that there's support from economic development, the Chamber of Commerce, natural resources, and so on. So again, I noticed this as being like a bigger thing in the other communities that have done a small area plan. I know here, right now, folks are thinking, okay, we need to really, that's kind of like putting all their eggs in the planning board basket, hoping that you all really, you know, like what they do, will champion them onto the commissioners, and then like hoping and praying that the commissioners will maybe take action. So if they can give support, I think it would help all parties involved.
Thank you. Okay, don't see any other members of the public, so planning board comments. Regis, Laura, and start with you.
I said before the meeting that I started through the board, and you know, I've missed the last two meetings. I don't think I missed too much in terms of the noise ordinance review, which was heavily talked about. But I think this has been productive. I appreciate the training on the stuff that you presented, Adam, and good to meet you, and thank you.
Well, it's a great meeting. I'm excited to keep moving forward and have momentum, and I like planning. Knowing right now what some of the agenda is for next month is encouraging to me. Like, I can leave here tonight and know some of what planning is. That's pretty pretty cool, which I haven't really felt that time.
I would just like to acknowledge the full-page letter, the Tea Times, that of about maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe 2.5 weeks ago, where it was signed by I don't know how many citizens, a full page of them, and they were asking what the planning board is doing relative to the comprehensive plan and how and updating our ordinances. And I just, we haven't talked about that letter, and I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that I at least saw it. And I also think it's good to know that we had already said we wanted to review the comprehensive plan before we saw that letter from the Tea Times. So,
I'm not aware of what you're talking
about. It was a full page advertisement.
You're talking about the
Transylvania Times, I'm sorry. I should have said Transylvania Times in the newspaper. And it was really, I think, directed to the county commissioners, but also specifically to the planning board. And if you haven't seen it, you probably should just take a look at it to make sure that you understand the expectations. I think it also underscores the point that John Wayne made, that if people aren't really clear about what we're doing with these, I'm going to use the word clerical changes to the ordinances, based on that letter, they could be very disappointed with the action that we're taking from the city ordinance.
Well, I'll say one thing, I'll play out how many citizens understand if there's been changes made on the state level, and we're going to have to change that too.
Well, no, I do understand that. I do understand that.
But if they see it on the agenda to review the floodplain ordinance, and then all they see that we do is change it from 168 to 160D, it's not clear now. It will be insufficient to say the
least. Let me say this. Bob and I both were in that meeting Monday, yeah. And part of the driving is there have been some changes on the federal and state level in our ordinance. He's going to have to conform to that. Is that correct?
There are some state required changes, which we've discussed all night, that you're going to have to change. I can't recall Mr. Fox identifying any required changes specifically to the flood damage ordinance that are federally mandated. There will be some updated maps in the future. Mr. Fox mentioned that, so we will update for those maps. But I don't know of any mandated text amendments. I can get you an answer at our next meeting.
He put a lot of emphasis on the fact of the state model ordinance, which I think is what the commissioners are looking at going with or keeping up with.
Correct. He put emphasis on there being a state model that differs from ours, but it's not a mandated change. I apologize. I need to clarify myself.
Paul, go ahead. Did you start with any other comments?
Well, I think tonight, looking at all of the discussion that we had based upon what Alan and Darby presented on the screen and all that, just reinforces that even though we're 7 individuals on this board, this is one of the best boards that I've ever had the privilege to work on. And there's nothing that we can't handle. And Alan, your approach of putting those recommendations on things that you think that we need to do, that's, as far as I'm concerned, the guidance we need, because, you know, we don't need to waste time over, you know, bowballing over peanuts. There's too much work to be done, you know, without minutiae bogging us down. So I just appreciate it, Darby. That was good on the slideshow.
Thank you, sir.
Great. I'm going to let you go next, if you will.
I'd like to thank staff, all the work he put into this each month. I'd like to thank staff for all the work he put into this each month. And taking note that our COVID rate in this county has tripled in the last 14 days, I have some great concern. Each day when I go out, and I would just like to thank Lauren and Kim for wearing their masks tonight. Thank you.
planning, you guys are killing it. Thanks for all this work you've been doing. I know you don't even have an office to work in, so it's amazing all the stuff you put together for us today. Karen, thank you so much for bringing up that letter. I didn't have time, but I was going to bring that up, but I'm glad you saw it too. And this board is, I think, really starting to work well. So thanks for all the effort you guys have consistently put in every time. I really appreciate that.
I'm not sure I'm going to add anything. I think this is a good meeting, and we're getting ready to do what we really need to do with the county. And work together to do it. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
Second. I would suggest that you can vote by standing out there.
Get me out of your chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. We got our minutes signed.